The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your host and toy bar flies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. You can hear the non-rushed banner in my voice this week as we are...
Oh yeah, you sound very kind of laid back.
Yes, back to our normal non-agitated wife, who, by the way, is still sick.
Yeah, well...
It's been a week.
That's fun. Yeah, well, I was worried about her, actually. She felt well enough to go to Six Flags.
Although, okay.
I'm just saying, my mom was always like, if you're well enough to play video games and watch TV, then maybe you're well enough to go to school.
In her defense, we had planned this way ahead of in advance with her little sister and her nephew, and we were taking them, and it's not like we could back out of it, because she had already told him and made all these plans, and he's like 7. So? Yeah, I don't want to disappoint my nephew, and Carrie doesn't either, so
When I was 7, people couldn't disappoint me fast enough.
And by all means... When we got up that morning, she looked at me and she said, if it was just us going, we wouldn't be going. She's like, because I don't feel like going, but...
I saw the pictures.
She had a good time,
though. Oh, yeah, she was smiling. Yeah. Smiling, laughing, having a good time.
Yeah, she was having a good time.
Real trooper.
Then she got sunburned, so she got a head cold on top
Dude,
of her sunburn.
Dude, don't go there. Yeah. Family friendly. I don't even want to get in your weird,
I'm just saying,
cannibal
impulses. She got sunburned, and then she was like, ah, so... I felt bad for her, but she's on the mend, I believe. Her cold is... Which is why there's no Married to the Collection until tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I have mixed feelings about that, because you were threatening to like step on this show. Oh, the tradition continues where you like blow all our topics in your little married show, and then I get like the cleanup of. We talked about all this on the show that came up yesterday. I'm like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, here's my late to the party input on it. The tradition continues.
Oh, David.
Sorry.
Good gosh. You know, there's been some interesting toy news this week.
There's been entirely too... You know, I was thinking the other day, there's no real G.I. Joe line in the stores. There's not really a Star Wars line that I'm not interested in the 6-inch, and even that's not really very easy to find. How am I spending all this money?
We'll get to that in a little bit.
How am I so poor?
There was one little bit of Matty Collector news.
Is that like a bookshelf?
No. Well, there was one little bit of Matty Collector news they announced. They announced some...
I think we recorded before the Baby Skeletor thing, too.
Yeah, the Baby Skeletor thing happened that night we were recording, and that's been a joke to a lot of people. And I mean, it's based on a Robot Chicken episode, and Yay. It's not... I don't know. People are not happy about it because they're like, really?
Masters fans aren't happy about something.
I know, right?
That was probably the slot for that one last vintage character that they really wanted.
Well, then they announced today, of course, this has nothing to do with the figures because it can be used for both Masters and DC Universe Classics, but Mattel and Matty answered a bunch of questions about their production runs and everything and what they were doing. And then
they never answer those questions.
I don't know how close they answered them, but they did say that... they're going to be releasing wall-mounted display stands, and which will be out in July, which will be out next month. And they're basically two in a pack, and they have a total of 6 like reconfigurable bases. $25 for the set, but the problem is it's all plastic with a cardboard backer, so it's probably going to be way too flimsy to hold that many figures on a wall.
Well, I mean, does the stand part the floor? Is there a plastic part to the back?
I'm sure.
I mean, if it just plugs into a cardboard thing, then But if there's plastic there too, because I mean, honestly, I mean, if I was a Masters guy, those Masters stands look cool. I would probably buy those.
Yeah.
The DC one.
Yeah, I am
generic.
So that was interesting. That was the Matty Collector news. We'll move on from that because Matty gets way too much time as it is, I think, these days.
Like, wow, we're leading with that story.
Well, it was just the easy story because I want to save the good ones for last. We talked about this a little bit last week with Mike, but we talked about how the G.I. Joe Collector Club subscription figure, the subscription figure service, the actual reveal, we knew who he was, but they finally revealed pictures of him. And, of course, it's a 25th anniversary style Alpine.
Okay, as usual, you have no idea what you're talking about.
That's what it says, 25th amusing. Anniversary style, fully posable action figure.
That's from the 3.0 subscription service. So that's a series of 12 figures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what we were talking about...
I was reading the headline, GI Collector Cub.
I know, but what we were talking about last week was Mindbender.
We talked about him.
We talked about Alpine. Well, I don't think we talked about Alpine.
Yeah, we did. We talked about Alpine.
We covered him briefly. He was one of the characters that nobody really cared about. Because he's based on the new Sculpt Era version.
Right.
Instead of the 25th. In fact, if we said anything, it was probably that it would have been nicer if they just done the 25th version, because he's hard to get, which we talked about at the mini mall.
Right.
They actually, I mean, he doesn't, the color scheme is different than the new, what's weird is the two figures they've shown, the color schemes are completely off, but in my personal opinion, they're better than the source material.
Right.
I mean, because he had like a red thing and blah, blah, blah. He's a little weirdly cheerful looking, but...
Yeah, he's a little happy
for him. But he's got the shorts, and he looks like a kind of a cool, he looks like a cool figure. I think, It's like they took the kind of basic design of the outfit, but they used classic vintage colors.
Right.
Which is a weird sort of hodgepodge, but I actually think it works really well for that figure. And then the other one that they showed off was Spearhead and Max, who, as we talked about last week, was from the Night Force set.
Yes.
They're just using they were supposed to be using the vintage colors, but they didn't. They toned it down, so it's more of a desert camo as opposed to a what I call Predator camo.
Right.
Where it's like the original version is like this bright orange, crazy camo, so like if the Predator used Predator vision, he'd be invisible. He'd be invisible. But this guy has like more of a desert rock camo, which again looks really cool.
Yeah,
and the subscription service actually went live the day we're recording this, Tuesday.
Yes,
and it's $300.
So Uncle Dave spent a lot of money this week.
$300 plus they just gouge you for shipping. So I spent $377.
Wow.
I'm like, I think next year, seriously, guys, next year, just make the price $400 and say shipping's included. Because it's a little kind of crummy to go through the whole process, and then it's like, oh, shipping, here's another $70.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
Like, yeah, just quote the full price.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
But, I mean, I don't know. I have the first two series. I would feel, I honestly debated whether or not I was going to sign up for this one.
Really?
And as we're going to get to, I'm spending a lot of money.
Right.
But this one, I had the first two series, and I'm going to stay with it for a little while longer. I'll tell you the one thing that I did end up cutting was Lego Ecto 1.
Did you?
I had to cut something.
Yeah.
So
I haven't picked up the Lego Ecto 1 yet. It's
I'm surprised, man.
Ghostbusters
is your jam.
I know, and it's only because of this next thing that we talk about that popped
really?
Up.
Really?
For now.
Okay.
For now. Just because I was like, I don't want to spend that kind of money right now. But of course, George and Eileen Gaspar, who run October Toys,
mm-hmm.
For those of you that don't know that, they host a toy show called Toy Break, and back in the day, there was only two major toy shows. It was Toy Break and That New Toy Smell, and we were the kings of the mountain for a long time, the two shows, but they, whereas That New Toy Smell has kind of evaporated and gone away, everyone's gone on to other things. George and Eileen still do Toy Break, but they also run October Toys, and they've done the little muscle men style figures, and I, for some reason the name of it escapes my head, only because I have never bought any, and that's why.
I'm not a big muscle guy.
Yeah. But they, in association with Gary Goddard, who is the creator of this toy line, as well as Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future, many other, they are running a Kickstarter right now to release a brand new Glyos compatible 3¾-inch scale figure line.
Are they 3¾-inch?
They
look bigger.
I'll get to that in a second. Of the classic Playmates
just
toy line.
Just mention it! Skeletal Warriors!
Yes.
Oh my god!
I was getting there. Will you let me get to the build-up?
No!
Jesus.
Well, I mean, we've got lives to lead. We've got places to go.
Anyway, so yeah, they've killed the lead-in. Thanks a lot, David.
Wow.
But Skeleton Warriors, which is...
Drag it out.
Which, of course, anyone who's listened to this show knows how heartbroken Dave and I both are that we never got a Mordor and never got...
Morgor.
Certain figures in the line.
You're so heartbroken, you don't even...
You
mistruthed.
I mispronounce names all the time. Why are you making
mistruth.
That such a big
mistruth.
Deal?
You're a mistruther.
Dave's in a saucy mood today, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm in a saucy mood.
And I'm not sure...
You know what? I'm punch drunk. That's why.
Yeah, because you spin a shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So don't take it out on me.
It's like, you know, there's no tomorrow for me anyway, so what do I care?
Don't take it out on me.
I spent all my money.
Best friend co-host, remember right here? Don't shoot the messenger.
I'm just saying, talk smack about people for getting the information wrong. It's more...
You know what?
I just think it's funny. It's like, yeah, we really love this line, the Mordor, the dragon of stone or something. Yeah, it's really sad that...
Anyway, can we move on from your...
Sorry, but I really...
Your old man complaining.
Mordor, the bone dragon.
Thank you. Mordor, the bone dragon.
Greatest toy that never got made. Yes,
thank you.
My biggest heartbreak. So can we get to why it's you're saying it's a 3¾-inch line when there's clearly a picture of it on the Kickstarter page?
Baron Dark.
Next to... Okay.
Baron Dark is the biggest of the main cast of characters, and he clocks in at 5 inches. Everyone else is 3¾-inch scale.
Okay.
That is what it says.
Okay, fair enough. Like, if he's a large character, you could have just said that.
That's what I was getting to, and you cut me off.
But you never got to it.
I was getting there.
You were spinning your wheels.
I wasn't spinning my wheels. I was getting there. This will be a fun show for everyone to listen to.
So much wheel spinning.
Jesus.
And if that guy's 5 inches, those guys are easily 4 to 7¼ inches.
It just says Baron Dark's the only one at 5 inches.
Okay, do those guys look like they're significantly smaller?
Hey, I'm just saying. I don't know, possibly, because the way it's shot, I don't know. Anyway, the line is fully GLaDOS compatible.
On that, we agree.
Yes. And actually, Baron Dark actually has 26 points of articulation. They're simply amazing. I mean...
they look cool.
Yeah, they do look cool. 17 GLaDOS compatible pieces. And of course, he comes with a total of a 21, like a total of 21 pieces, because he has the removable sword, the cape, the loin cloth, the arm guards, his little skeleton, the actual like skeleton warriors of the skeleton warriors, the basic army builders, so you could say.
He comes with that?
Well, no, but they come separately. Yeah. But they have 26 points of articulation, and they're going to be available in bone and glow in the dark. There's a lot of really cool incentives. All right, gang. So, as you can tell, we stopped talking about stretch goals, and it just kind of stops, and then we come here.
Yeah.
That's because the system apparently decided it was only going to record 12 minutes after Dave and I had been talking for an hour. So, yeah. A good chunk of the show's passion and heart is gone, because now we got to kind of talk about the same stuff, and we're not going to talk about it as much in depth, because...
Yeah, we're probably not going to spend as much time on it.
Which sucks.
I mean, I still have passion for... the thing.
Yeah, it's I'm a little I'm a little peed off, but... because at one point Dave and I were into a story which we'll talk about later here soon, and the fact that my foot hit the cord for the microphone and the microphone came unplugged, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, when I brought the program back up, it was just stuck, and apparently it only recorded 12 minutes, and I was like, really? You've got to be kidding me. So, yeah, there's that. That's all kinds of fun stuff, I suppose. Anyway, we're talking about stretch goals for Skeleton Warriors.
Yeah.
I just want to let you guys know what happened in case you're like, oh, what happened to their energy? It's just gone. Yeah, that's because I'm not happy right now at all. The Skeleton Warriors stretch goals for the Kickstarter... there's quite a few of them. I'm so upset that I got to talk. I'm not upset that I got to talk about this. I'm upset that we got to basically.
Well, come on, man. At some point, you got to suck it up.
So the stretch goals: for 60,000, you unlock a skeleton guard. For 70,000, a skeleton soldier. At $95,000, Prince Lightstar. At $120,000, is Grimskull. And if they hit $145,000, is Talon. And that's as far as their stretch goals go. And of course, as of right now, the Kickstarter has a 318 backers with at $13,595 pledged with a $45,000 goal with 20 days to go. And of course, we talked before that you guys didn't hear that.
Calm down. It's okay.
Basically, the, you know, most of the time these Kickstarters.
Well, yeah, I had done some research and on some of the other Kickstarters that I had pledged to, and I think Marauders was well over 200,000.
Yes.
And but Marauders is a pretty big name, especially among G.I. Joe guys. I mean, it's a well-known entity.
Yeah.
So people were ready to support that. And then the I Am Elemental, I think, was like at 100,000+.
Yeah.
I mean, it had gone well over its initial goal, too.
Yeah. So there's good things, hopefully, and especially since it's GLaDOS compatible, and GLaDOS fans will get behind it.
Yeah, and they're promising some cool stuff that's not even in the Kickstarter.
Right.
You know, page.
Yeah, like, exactly.
We have inside sources. I've heard rumors.
Yes.
Which is one of the reasons I funded it, even though I'm not a big Skeletal Warrior guy. I have my reasons for funding
that. Yes, exactly. But, I mean, it looks like a beautiful line. I mean,
it looks cool. It looks very, very cool.
The pictures of it, Baron Dark. Look, they're 3 3/4 inch, but the Baron Dark and the skeletons. The Baron Dark is 5 inch.
Okay, so the humans are 3 3/4, but the skeletons are giants.
Are a little bit larger, which they were.
Fair enough. Well, I don't.
It'll be nice to
honestly,
have.
I don't remember that.
It'll be nice to have a Baron Dark that's fully
articulated
and standing up, whereas the original Baron Dark had the weird Playmates Ninja Turtles thing going on with it.
It was a line, you know, I would have bought one toy, and they didn't make that one.
Right, exactly.
So
they do look beautiful, though, and the amount of parts, you know, the accessories, just really, really cool.
See, that's a 3 3/4 inch figure.
Yeah, and there's a picture of one of the Power Lord soldiers with one of the Glios figures with standing next to Baron Dark, and you get a sense of how big Baron Dark really is, and he towers over the Power Soldier, which is pretty cool.
I mean, if it's a scale and he's supposed to be giant, then okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And of course, all the pieces break down, you know, into Glios
compatible. What's Glios compatible? And,
It's very, very cool, man. They really, Gary Goddard just got to be over the moon that, you know, they're able to work out a licensing deal with October Toys and able to do this line. Because Gary Goddard's always been, you know, with this and Captain Power. And I guarantee you, even though Mattel has the first, basically, they have the first...
Right of refusal?
Yeah, right of refusal. Thank you. That's what I was trying to get out. I couldn't get to it.
I figured.
They have that right of refusal for the toy line. If Mattel passes on that toy line, I guarantee you the new Captain Power toy line ends up going to an independent contractor like Four Horsemen or October Toys. And they end up going this same route with Glios compatible figures of the Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future with removable armor and everything, which would be very cool because they've been working on a new Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future show.
Huh.
Whether or not it's network or whether or not it's another medium like Netflix or something like that, which is very, very possible in this day and age. But
or just YouTubes.
Or, well, yeah, the YouTubes.
The YouTubes.
Machinima has been
really,
really good about, you know, they did the Mortal Kombat series. I believe the Street Fighter series is under Machinima. So there's ways like that. But it's got to be cool for him, especially after watching the Skeleton Warriors DVD and the bonus material and how much he loved this concept, loved these characters, and how much, you know, how much they had planned for the cartoon. That if you watch the cartoon now, while it's kind of campy, it was a much darker storyline what was on Saturday morning cartoons, period.
Well, yeah.
And how, you know, they kind of got crapped on with the show because the show kept getting moved around, so you could never figure out what time the show was on Saturday mornings because it kept jumping around in its time slot. And then Playmates was just like, eh, and then dumped the toys. So it's gonna be cool that these are coming back for him, but it's very, very neat. I'm super excited. I backed this. You and I both backed it as well. Didn't get the early birds because I missed it, but I did back it in order to get all of the announced figures. And then as the stretch goals will get unlocked, hopefully they'll release something else where you can upgrade your backing
to get the rest of the stretch goals. I can't imagine that they won't, because every other one that I've backed has that feature.
Yeah.
The Marauders one did.
Yeah.
The one we're going to be talking about in a minute does.
Yeah.
I backed it. I did the same level you did, so I get all the basic figures. That's generally what I do.
Right.
I get whatever level gets you all the basic figures.
Yeah.
You know, and I also did it because there is I want the line to succeed because I want it to get to it. I want my Bone Dragon.
Exactly. And finally, after all these years,
man, I will buy that in a heartbeat. Yep. If that's a separate Kickstarter,
and George and Eileen, I'm sure, know that as well, because they've got to be thinking the same thing. If this gets funded and it continues to go and does well, if we release that Bone Dragon, there's no turning. There's no stopping. Like, everyone will be in on that Bone Dragon.
I want it so bad.
Yeah,
I've wanted it for years.
Especially that Bone Dragon. It'll have to be. Oh my God, a 10 or 12 inch.
Wouldn't it be big? I mean, the scale's a little smaller this time around, so I mean, it can be a little smaller, but.
Yeah, but it'd still be big.
I want it, yeah. I mean,
be cool. I look forward to that.
Want it, need it, have to have it.
So, there was another Kickstarter.
There was. It kicked off last night.
Late last night, too.
Ironically, I had been playing my Skyrims a little late, and I finally was finishing up for the night, and I checked my phone. I'm like, oh, are you serious?
We've talked about it a lot.
Oh, I've talked about it a couple times, yeah. We talked about it last week, I know, somewhat extensively.
And it happens to be our friends from Boss Fight Studios.
Boss Fight Studios, Eric Ranya and company. I don't want to make it sound like it's just
no, no, but it's a group of them.
Yeah.
But we know Eric Ranya.
Yeah.
They actually finally sent their Kickstarter live, so their Vitruvian Hax action figures are live now on Kickstarter.
Yep.
And if you have not seen the pictures of them or haven't been to a convention where they've been to see the prototypes, they are stunning, to
gorgeous.
Say the least.
I mean, these are the guys, these are in the alternate universe where the show actually recorded the first time.
Yes.
I described them, they're Hasbro's version of the Four Horsemen.
Yes.
And these are the guys that did Modern Era Joe, did, Eric, the last things he worked on before he left Hasbro were Black Mara Jade and Black Darth Plagueis.
Yes.
I mean, these are the guys. And these toys are, they're not Hasbro, but, they look, you put them next to a G.I. Joe, Modern Era G.I. Joe, and they're
oh,
perfectly,
yeah.
They're perfectly compatible. These things are gorgeous. They are super articulated. They're beautifully sculpted. The yes. prototypes are beautifully painted, and I assume, because this is a, very collector-oriented line, I assume that the final product will look pretty much the same.
Yes.
And they're just cool, and they're designed to be customizable. They're designed, they're basically like a modern era Joe, but the big difference is right in the butt, right in the center of the tailbone is there's a screw. So unlike G.I. Joes, modern G.I. Joes, you can take these apart and completely strip them out. I mean, there's a picture there on the page of them completely stripped down to their parts,
yes.
and swapped parts around. And then they come with, the armor and all that stuff are yeah. separate pieces, so you can swap armor. It's not just swapping weapons. Swap armor, swap arms, swap yeah. limbs.
And they're all 4-inch base figures. They're the same base figures.
They are essentially modern era G.I. Joes.
Yep. 17 points of articulation. There's a picture of all the different poses like you could achieve, some of them.
Oh, they were cheap. They were driving me crazy the last couple weeks, like with all these pictures of them. They had pictures of them with, like, the Marauder's weapons, like, doing all yeah. these different poses and all yeah. these crazy things. Like, just put the Kickstarter up!
I like there's one pose here on the Kickstarter of one of the base figures holding a sword above his head in a very, very familiar pose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He-Man style.
Yep. Which is pretty funny. But, yeah, the parts basically break down and completely break down.
Yeah, you can completely take them apart.
I mean, you can take the front waist apart. Once you undo the screw, the waist halves will unhook from one another, and you can pull, the T-rod out of there for the legs. Yeah. And it's all, they're made to be
yeah,
completely
that's
customizable.
It's interesting, and I'm supposed to be the big G.I. Joe expert. One of the things that I've sort of discovered, although I knew it because I did it myself, Is that actually G.I. Joe's customizing is a big thing among G.I. Joe collectors.
Yes.
Because the original figures were so easy to take apart
yeah.
and swap pieces. That's like I always thought that was a neat thing that I did, but I think a lot of G.I. Joe guys, that's part of the hobby for them. I mean, that's an intrinsic part of
yes.
Real American Hero is swapping pieces and swapping parts and customizing. And these toys are designed to do that, yeah.
And of course, the first series is based on the Greek mythology.
Greek mythology,
and it's pretty cool. The first wave is actually a Spartan warrior, cursed Gorgon sister Medusa, the Gorgon army coral snake, a cursed Spartan warrior who's
so
all
it's
stone.
Turned to stone, yeah.
Yep. The packaging's really cool on them.
It's resealable.
It's resealable, which is awesome, which is great. The deluxe figures are in resealable boxes, reusable boxes, which are cool. These figures are just phenomenal. I mean, they are simply
they're gorgeous. And that's you get into the really awesome. Well, first of all, there's one more thing. There's I think the bronze figure also is a later level figure as part of the package. And then there's a two pack
yes.
of I keep calling them the constellation ones, but I don't think that's the proper name. But they're painted a certain way, and they've got the actual constellations on them. It's a two pack of the Gorgon and the
Celestial Warrior,
Celestial
Medusa
Warrior, yeah.
and Perseus.
Those look cool.
And then the Immortal Hero is the
Immortal
Hero
is the bronze
yeah,
one, yeah,
which is pretty cool. The stretch goals for this are pretty stunning.
The stretch goals, I'm super excited about, and I really hope we hit it.
Yep, the stretch goals.
Oh nice. Well, and then there are some special. They're not stretch goals. There are some special. I call them John Kent things.
Yes.
But like if you spend $1,000, you pledge $1,000, there's the hard copies for the male form, the female form,
and
specifically
then,
Medusa and yeah. specifically the warrior.
Well, the male and female form are limit one per each form, and those
yeah.
are 1,000. The resin hard copy for the Spartan warrior is limited one, and that's 2,500. And then the resin copy
yeah.
of Medusa is 2,500 level one. I love that there's one that's $4,500 and it's just called Sparta, and it's backers of this level will be able to complete their entire Spartan army with one quick purchase, which is perfect for the hardcore diorama builders. They receive one complete army of 300 Spartan figures.
300. Yeah, they put that up on Facebook a while ago. Like, would you actually pay to get 300? And people were like, yes.
Yeah. And then there's a 10,000 one that you two lucky supporters, if they spend $10,000, will get their likeness on a full production figure in a future assortment, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So, it's pretty neat. The stretch goals here are where it gets really cool. If they hit 90,000, we'll get the pre-cursed Medusa, which she has legs.
She has legs and she has a different head.
Yep, she has a different head. 105,000, we'll get the Greek Wave 2, made up of two figures. Athenian Warrior. And this Green Snake for the Gorgon Army, which is really cool looking.
It's cool looking, yeah.
120,000 will be Greek Wave 2.5, which is two figures. So it's the eldest Gorgon sister, which is Steno.
Steno, yeah.
And the Underworld Warrior, which is really cool. He looks like a molten lava statue.
Well, he looks, yeah, he's like he's kind of black, but he's got cracks of lava,
yeah,
running through him.
135,000 releases the a set of four blank figures, so two male, two female.
Again, for the customizing, and there are different heads.
Yep. Different heads, different hands, different feet. 150,000 releases Greek Wave 3. Which is the King
Leonidas.
King Leonidas.
So if you're getting the 300.
Yep. And the Gorgon Army Black Racer.
That one I've really seen the cool. prototype for, and it's just gorgeous. Yeah.
She's really like, cool.
Of the non-named characters, that's the one that I'm really excited for.
Yeah. 165,000 will be the Greek Wave 3.5, made up of two figures.
We get Yearly, the third Gorgon.
Yep. Yearly, the youngest Gorgon sister. And
a Myrmidon.
A Myrmidon warrior, who's pretty cool. 180,000 will release another series of four blank figures in
four different colors. It's Dr. Manhattan.
Yes, there is a Hero Blue
yeah.
figure in there. 195,000 releases an all-new Spartan, which is the disciple of Yurle.
Which is basically kind of like a snake man version of Man-at-Arms yes. kind of thing. He's been cursed, so he's all snaky.
210,000 releases yet another set of four blanks in four different colors. Which is cool. There's a transparent figure in there.
Yeah. That one's really Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. 225,000 releases the Ghost of the Battlefield Glow-in-the-Dark 2-pack, which is a Glow-in-the-Dark Spartan and a Glow-in-the-Dark Gorgon with the uncursed Medusa legs.
Yeah, it's got the legs, but then it's got like the generic army builder Gorgon head.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Snake head.
270,000 releases the first of the accessory packs in silver, which is a bunch of armor for the male and female.
Sword, shield, armor, yeah. Helmets.
275,000 releases the next accessory, which is done in fire colors. 280,000 is the next accessory pack, which is in black colors, which is pretty
That'll
cool.
That'll be slick.
Yep, that one actually, that's the first accessory pack to include new Medusa whips and or more Medusa whips
yeah,
and
it's
swords.
It's the same whip, but it's in black, yeah.
Yeah. 300,000 is the one that I hope they get to, which releases the...
A lot of people do. A lot of people are excited.
Yeah, Vitruvian Hack Skeleton, which is just a super, you know, basically an
It's a G.I. Joe skeleton.
Yeah.
Imagine a G.I. Joe toy that's a skeleton.
That's what it is. It's pretty darn cool looking.
Man, if you got that and then the blue body, you do have Skeletor.
Yeah, you do, actually. It's pretty neat.
Oh, that's sweet.
310,000 releases yet another accessory pack in bone color, which is cool. 325,000 releases... the first new figure that isn't a redeco of one of the other figures.
Well, it's a new character. It's a new character. The skeleton is the only new mold that they would do that they don't have set up.
Yes.
Stonefist is a new character. Yes. It's a unique character.
Stonefist, the Gorgon Hunter, and he's really cool because his eyes are gone.
He had fought Medusa before, yes. So his arm is like all stony.
Yeah.
He's blinded himself so that he can defeat her.
Yeah. It's pretty darn neat. I mean, they're
amazing.
Oh, they're amazing.
They're gorgeous. I'm really excited about this.
And you went all in.
I went all in.
And the all in pledge was $500 more
because yeah. I added up all the add-ons. You know, assuming we hit, because that's a big thing right now. Is people are like, well, what if we don't get all the stretch goals? It won't be worth it. My thing is, I want to support this line.
Right.
And I do want to get all these add-on figures, but I also want... to me, it's a twofold thing. I want to get, you know, all the Gorgon figures. All the other stuff is a bonus.
Yes.
And I added it up that if I did the other level that just gives you everything basic, and then I did all the add-ons for all the Gorgons, I mean, it was like $475.
Yeah.
It was very close to $500 anyway. So, I, you know, and the other thing is, I just want to support these guys. This is something that I'm really, I love modern era G.I. Joes. I love the Star Wars and Star Wars. I think those are my favorite figures, my favorite toys. I love how they do those.
Yeah.
I really want to support this. You know, and they've got plans for upcoming, you know, if you're not into the Greek thing, I mean, my thing is that Medusa figure alone, I would pay a lot of money just for that figure.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I have wanted.
For a long time.
Since Clash of the Titans came out.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's a modern era, beautifully sculpted, looks great. I mean, when I went into Toys R Us one day and Chap May had those True Legend Medusa, which is kind of the same thing, but a crummy Chat May version.
Yeah.
I was still super excited because it's like it's the Medusa with the snake tail that I've always wanted.
Yeah.
So to have one that's like so gorgeous and you could just put next to your
tail's articulated.
And I really, really, really am excited for these guys. I really want them to do well. I really hope, you know, that we get to the next wave. I always talk about how I want a D&D line.
Right.
The next wave is basically like a high fantasy kind of line. It's yeah. I mean, the one thing that was mentioned was a half-orc fighter or something. I mean, it's D&D without being D&D.
Correct.
And then the one after that is like a science fantasy, Buck Rogers, Star Wars-y, zap guns and jetpacks and that kind of, yeah. You know, I mean, generic, but the feel of a science fantasy,
right.
Sci-fi kind of. So I really hope these guys do well, and I really hope that they get to take it. You know, and it's just kind of, it's both funny and sad to see people complain, you know, well, it may not be worth it to invest in this if I'm not going to get everything. I mean, dude.
Well, this is the time that you...
This is something worth supporting.
Well, this is the time you put up or shut up.
Exactly.
If you want to back it and you want to, you put up the money and back it and know that you're going to get the product that you're putting the money up for if it succeeds, which we're almost to the goal. I mean... As of this recording, they're at 234 backers with $45,000 of this $75,000 goal.
And that's one of the highest goals I've ever seen, by the way. Usually they're like, the other ones I've seen have been like 15,000 or something, I think.
Right.
I think Skeletal Warrior is 35.
Yeah.
And this is not even, literally not even 24 hours that they've got. I mean, by the time I woke up in the morning, it was 25,000.
Yeah.
So, and they've got 38 days to go.
Yeah.
And I just... I really, you know, we always talk about how this is the future, and I think in the past we've always said it in kind of a sad way, you know, that it's moving away from blah, 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 and Mattel, yeah. And you know what? Maybe that's not so bad.
No, that's not bad when you
Maybe it's time to do new things and to explore new horizons, because the product is so cool that maybe it's time to move away from that.
Right, exactly.
And embrace the new stuff.
Yeah, no.
Because the new stuff is amazing. These guys are so talented.
Yeah.
So, I literally am... I mean, yes, I'm going to be spending a lot of money. But you know what? To me, it's worth it to invest in these guys.
Right. I agree.
And I really, really, really hope they succeed.
Yeah.
And it look like they're gonna, so...
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to. Very, very much so. They're going to. It's just... It is really cool, though. I mean, it's nice to see that, you know... Boss Fight and October Toys, you know, these two really cool toy lines are really going to...
Well, and one of the things I believe I said in the alternate universe thing is, you know, for me, it's I mean, starting in December, I get the Marauders military figures.
Yes.
Which are mind... I don't know if you saw those, but they're mind-blowing. And Boss Fight actually had a hand in those.
Yeah.
In terms of customability... customability? I'm getting that. I'm getting the I Am Elemental, which is the female-oriented action figure line.
Right.
Which look really cool, and they now have a stretch goal. Their stretch goal is weird. Their stretch goal is about people rather than money. So if they get like double the amount of people that have pledged, they're going to do a stretch goal figure, which is basically like a repaint of one of the other figures,
right?
In like a real cool red color.
Yeah,
and then you get a vote right now on what figure you want.
Well, that's cool.
And then the Skeletal Warriors comes out in December, and then in February. The Vitruvian figures.
Vitruvians, yeah.
So it's I'm going to have all kinds of cool stuff coming out.
Oh, yeah, and I guaranteed this in the other
alternate universe. Yeah, yeah, in the alternate universe we talked about, I will bring it here.
Yeah, we will review
assuming
those.
Assuming by then I don't have a working computer.
Yeah.
We will bring it here and we will film it. And we will do something to show you guys these toys.
Because yes.
I think...
You will get a chance to see all four of those toy line from Kickstarter
yeah.
reviewed by us. I mean, we may not... you know, I'm sure there'll be advanced reviews, but you won't be able to see a Duvall and Puppet Duvall review of these awesome toys anywhere else.
We may not even do Puppet Duvall.
No, we may not. It may just be me and you. Yeah.
Because I think these particular, I really want to, it's not even a review, but I want to, I don't know how to describe it. I want to show them off. I want to bring some of the other G.I. Joes. I want you to see these things with these other things and see how amazing they really are. And you know, get excited about it. This stuff's cool, man.
Oh, yeah, it's very cool.
I think one of the problems we have in this hobby, and in nerddom in general, is we look backwards too much. I mean, I'm excited about Skeletal Warriors, but the thing I'm excited about Skeletal Warriors is the toy they never made.
Exactly.
You know, I'm excited about this new stuff. You know, I mean, I'm happy that Star Wars is coming out, and I'm happy that Jurassic World is coming out, and I'm happy for Avengers 2, but there's all this cool new stuff, and maybe it's time that we let go of the stuff that we've always held on to and embrace the new.
Yeah.
There's a quote, I don't remember if I said this on last week's show or not, but there's a quote from the guy directing Jurassic World, where he's talking about people complaining about directors who ruin people's childhoods. And one of the things he says is, you forget that right now it's someone else's childhood.
Yeah.
And they deserve their fresh experience. And you know what? I think we deserve fresh experiences.
I agree.
I think we deserve better than to always live in the shadow of the past.
I agree.
And to move on and embrace exciting new things.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really kind of looking forward to what this new era is going to give us.
I agree.
At the same time, you know, touching on stuff like Skeletal Warriors and Captain Power and all these cool things, bringing them back, but bringing them back in a new way,
right?
Like Power Lords.
Yes.
In a new, exciting way.
I agree. I'm very excited. My Power Lords.
And
be
you
here.
Were all worried I wouldn't have any.
I know, right? I'm very excited. I'm hoping my Power Lords show up here soon because
cool.
I should be getting.
I kind of want to see them. I kind of don't because I don't want to spend any more money.
Well, I should be getting, you know, I ordered Adam Power and Power Lord and Griptog, and I should have the Graptic Warrior that was one of the fan clubs, and then, of course, since I signed up for Vulcan Rock, I should also be getting the exclusive one, which is the big packaged, Graptic Warrior that has the black pieces and has the loincloths and all kinds
of
different stuff.
One comes with the blue head. He looks cool.
That's the one that's the Vulcan Rock level.
He looks super cool. That one I'm jealous of.
Yeah, that was the one that was the Vulcan Rock level. So I'm very excited about that. It's going to be a cool time for toys. It really is. I mean, like I said, if you have not seen the pictures of the boss fight stuff.
Again, if you're a fan of G.I. Joe, or even of Star Wars, or even of some of the Marvel stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you owe it to yourself to look at these things. I mean, you can see these guys fighting Thor. You know, I mean, you can easily see them with Cobra.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely see them with Cobra.
I mean, I was teasing Mike about Cobra Law being the set for next year, but Boss Fight does the special pieces for those sets.
Yeah.
Tell me you could not just use that for Globulus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it'd be a so much better figure than the Vintage
one. The Vintage one or what Hasbro would do.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Because you'd actually have a tail you could pose.
Articulate, yeah.
Yeah. I agree. So Dave and I went on a little trip this weekend.
An excursion, if you will.
An excursion. We ventured out to Topeka, Illinois to Peckin.
Good old Peckin.
To our friends at the JR's Mini Mall. We went out there, went to hang out with our buddies Robert and Steve. And basically, I went out there a while back to kind of help Steve, who's one of the vendors. He had a big box full of parts and accessories. And I went out there to start to separate in order to identify and in order for him to, like, you know, they could list online or sell in the shop, and he could make some more money on this stuff that was just sitting in a box, basically. And he wasn't doing anything with it, you know. This is a big box of parts, and, you know, originally when I went down there, I was finding, like, the headdress to 3030, which is, like, a $20 piece, and a bunch of other, like, random accessories that I was like, you know how much money? Like, you've got all this money in this box of stuff that, you know, I know people will buy because people are always looking for these parts of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know people who sell these and, you know, make a pretty decent amount on selling some of them most times. I'm like, why are they just sitting in a box? So Dave and I took Dave with me this time to venture up there, and we get there, and I think you had even said you were imagining something different.
Why, yeah. Well, you said in the alternate universe version, you said that the situation was different than the last time you were there.
Yes.
But I had imagined, like, literally a box of parts, accessories. And this time there was, like, ships, and there were figures. There was a lot of figures.
Oh, yeah.
So there was, like, you know, when we were trying to put figures together.
Yeah.
And he just bought
a huge collection of stuff
from a deeply emotionally disturbed child who had just torn these things to pieces.
I've never seen so many toys that were missing arms and chewed on.
That is the downside to the modern era Star Wars and G.I. Joe figures, is that they're easy to rip to pieces.
Yeah.
Which apparently this child did.
Yeah, yes, he did.
When he wasn't eating them. Because they were literally chewed up. I don't mean literally like a hipster. Literally. I mean, they were chewed up.
Yeah. Somebody got hungry. but there was like a huge box of vintage Star Wars vehicles and play sets. And then a couple of tubs of big totes full of modern Star Wars.
There was
stuff.
Like one big box of vintage, one big box of modern era.
Yeah, and then several boxes full of just Star Wars figures and random 80s figures and
toy biz,
Marvel stuff and X Men stuff and pieces and parts and accessories and bags full of that. And so Dave and I basically sat in one of the rooms in the antique mall and got a chair for Dave, pulled out a table, and we just basically, made a mess to try to
sort. Yeah, we made a big mess. I mean, it was more triage than because, I mean, it was too time-consuming to try to put together each individual. I mean, we did. I mean, I finally got the ARC 170 put together. You put together a lot of the Toy Biz figures.
Yeah.
I think we did the Toy Biz figures because it was the easiest.
It was the easiest stuff to identify. Because
you identify. Yeah, because that stuff stood out from everything else.
Yeah, because the accessories for Toy Biz stuff, you can pretty much go look at something and go, that's a Toy Biz figure.
That's a Toy Biz figure, yeah. But it was just trying to get stuff to a point where the next time we come in, we're more putting stuff together, and then maybe the next time we come in, we're finally getting stuff wrapped up.
Yeah.
So
because there's a lot of stuff. I mean,
a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Steve's one of those guys who wonderful guy, just amazing.
He's a cool guy.
Amazing guy.
Pop in and talk to us.
He's in his 50s, and he's somebody who's been buying this kind of stuff, not just toys but antiques for decades, and he's just got storage shed after storage shed filled with it. And he's one of those guys who buys stuff with the intention of going, well, I'll go through it, get it priced, and get it put in the, in the booth, or in one of his mini booths there, and it just builds up, and then it gets lost and gets, tossed in with the storage shed, and he forgets what he has. And he literally said to us, he's like, I don't even know what I have anymore in there. And it's like, the next time we go, we'll make
a
special
trip. Well, and of course for Jason, it's like, swing!
Yeah, it's like
there are things to dig through and mysteries to unsolve or solve or whatever.
That's my favorite thing is to dig through that stuff.
I
love digging through that stuff. So I think Dave and I will make a special trip out there that's not a Sunday and go out there when we can meet up with him like on a Saturday or something and just spend all day,
going through and finding what he's got.
Yeah, figuring out what he's got that he could take back to the shop. So that's pretty exciting. And I know. Robert's got a huge section at the store in the back. Like, there's a whole big expansive warehouse section that they've talked about doing some work on eventually and running like auctions and stuff out of the back part of the building. That maybe next time we go, so we're not
in the way, because we were kind of. It didn't come up that much, but it came up once or twice, and at least in one particular case, we got kicked out of the room because we were set up in one of his rooms.
Yeah,
to sell. Where he has his stuff displayed to sell.
Yeah,
we were kind of camped out in there.
So we may have to find go back in the warehouse and turn the lights on and take some tables and chairs back there, and that way we can just literally spread everything out and then just leave it. So we don't have to try to pack it all up. We can if it's a mess, we can leave it because we know no one's going to go back there and mess with it.
Yeah.
And then we can just continue on next time we come on, and that way it's all all safe and sound. But we had a good time, and of course there is a good story behind that, which we had alluded to
quite a story,
which we had alluded to on the Facebook fan page. Thanks to Robert. I'll start the story out and you can pick up and then I'll finish it. But, we got there, we arrived, I introduced Dave to everyone and we, Steve went and showed us some of the stuff that he'd already put out in his booth and we got to talking and I excused myself cause I had to use the facilities, and wandered off you and Steve sat there and talked for a while longer and take it away, Dave.
So, I mean, he had some interesting things and I was looking at him and he had just gotten a bunch of Masters figures in. And he had bagged and boarded them like they were comics. So I was looking through them, and I was curious.
Which is an easy way to dig through them.
Yeah. And I was looking through, and I mean, I know enough about Masters that I know there were one or two really good figures, like Brandor, like Scareglow. And one of the ones that I saw was Sauroid.
Yes.
Sauroid. And I was like, wow, cool. And he was in great shape. He looked fine. And so I asked him, how much do you want for this? And he was like, oh, it's $5. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, the Sparker works, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, honestly, if you said something like 10, I think I would have just said sold.
Right.
But because it was so low, it broke my heart. I'm like, I have to tell you this. This thing is worth so much money. Like, I can't just take advantage of you. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's really valuable. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. So I went. So Jason finally finished up in the bathroom, and he came back, and we started working, and finally we had a moment to ourselves. I said, you know, did you see that Starrid back there? And you were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, yeah, I kind of told him it was expensive. He's like, well, I want to get it. I'm all from 20, 30 bucks.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Because, I mean, I kind of wanted it. I kind of, you know, it's a reptile guy. I like reptile guys. Exactly. But, you know, you're more of a, you like Masters. And so I was like, okay. So as sort of a tangent, so you know where I'm coming from, one of the other things he had was a Sauron toy from Toy Biz. And that's a figure that I've been looking at buying because, you know, Hasbro's never going to do it.
Right.
So it turned out that we found the weapon for him. He had him in his booth. But we found the weapon for him in the pile, so we brought him back. Jason brought him back. And I was kind of like, well, maybe I'll pick him up. And then I looked at him, and his shoulders were really, they were stressed. The plastic was super stressed. And I'm like, I know it's just $2, but, So I told you to take it back.
Yeah.
You leave the. You were constantly leaving the room, and you say you were actually being productive. But I don't believe it for a minute. I think you were just sitting there running your jaw. But I know you. But anyway, so I'm sitting there. At one point, I hear this bull, and I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I broke the sword," and I thought that you, because you know, I forgot about Sauron.
Right.
So I thought you meant you had literally somehow broken Sauron. I'm like, I didn't really want to buy it anyway. It's a $2 figure. That Jason, he's a goof. It looked like I was gonna, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So as we're finally wrapping up, and you know, I bought a G.I. Joe from someone, one of the other dealers, and you know, we're kind of wrapping up. I look, you had a little box of stuff, and I look and I see the bagged and boarded Sauron, and then I notice that right next to his head is like a little triangular chunk of the same color plastic.
Uh-huh.
Take it away,
Mr. Toy Expert. On one of the trips while I was out at the desk, I had taken him a bunch of Masters figures that I had wrapped up and had priced, and I was like, well, let's go through these other Masters figures, and let's, you know, the ones that are complete, let's see if I got parts for the stuff that's not, and the ones that are complete, we'll get prices on. And he said, okay. He's like, well, what do you think? And I'm like, well, let me take them out. I have to look at them because the prices really depend on how the legs are and
condition,
the condition of them. I'm like, I really have to. It's the only way I can really give you a decent price idea on them. So I start taking them out, and they're all really good. The joints are really tight, and you know, nothing's loose, and they're in really good shape. And I get to the Sauron figure, and I'm like, you know, this figure is really cool, but I'm like, I would suggest you put it somewhere else. I'm like, and as I'm opening it, I'm telling him, I'm like, you know, this figure, he's really fragile. So, you know, there's one thing that you don't do. You don't drop this figure ever. Don't drop it. And as I say, don't drop this figure, I open the bag, and for some reason, the bag, he could just slides out, misses my hand completely, even though I was looking right at it, falls and hits the ground, hits the tile. And what happens? He shatters.
Yeah, somehow he fell out of the
bag. I was near tears. I was heartbroken. Like, I was more heartbroken for Steve because I was actually going to give him, like, for those of you that don't know, Steve and Robert, they don't pay me or pay Dave for our time. If we find
actually the opposite, man, they were like, we walk away with some stuff.
And by all means and by all rights, you know, they feel, you know, just, you know, take whatever, you know. And I always feel bad because I don't want to take stuff that they could actually sell and make money on. You know, usually I just take a bunch of kibble that stuff that I need, like weapons and accessories. This time I took a couple of Masters figures because I was like, well, you know, I really want a Flying Fist He-Man. I don't have one of those. And there was an Extendar that was complete, but his hands were green because, of course, that's usually the common problem is the gold in the hands is gone and they turn green.
Ah, well.
So, and I was like, well, he's a green-handed. I mean, he won't bring, you know, a whole bunch of money, but I'm like, I don't have an Extendar and I always like that figure. But I was actually going to pay him, like, give him money for Sauron because I'm like, I feel bad just would be like, I'll take that figure. You know, I didn't want to do that. I'm not that kind of person. So I was heartbroken because I was like, he could have made money off that. And here, my klutzy butt is, I'm just like, oops. And, of course, Steve's not mad about it. They're all
cracking. Oh, they're laughing. They were laughing by the time I came out.
Yeah, they thought it was the funniest thing they'd ever seen.
Well, because you're sitting there mouthing off Mr. Toy Expert. You've got to be very careful with this toy.
Yeah, and then he just smashes into bits. I was like, so I kind of looked at anywhere. I kind of looked at it, and I was like, well, I guess I'm taking that figure home with me.
Bronze, you know, giraffe part
due. Yeah, bronze giraffe part due. It seems I can never go into an antique store and That's why Carrie's like, that's why I have to go with you so I can babysit you. Remember, elbows yes. in. I'm like, yes, I know. I did, though. I was really distraught. Like, I was really sad that not only did I cost Steve money that he could have made, but I broke this figure that was in gorgeous condition.
Yeah, I mean,
it was beautiful.
It was an act of vandalism, pure and simple.
Yeah, and I felt so friggin' awful.
I mean, I do.
And
you
committed
a crime against Toyden.
Of course, I brought it home, and
I hope Danny punches you. You should, as representative of He-Man.
I text Danny, and I was like, "So, so I broke another Masters figure," and Danny goes, "Oh, good." And I had to explain to him the story. And he goes, he just laughed. He was just like, "Really?" And I was like, "Well, I'm klutzy, apparently."
Apparently.
I'm like, Masters fans should
be...
Have
you met you?
Yeah, I know, right? Dave Perdue, if you're listening to this, you better be wary if we ever come back over and I'm near the He-Mans.
Yeah, don't let him anywhere near your He-Mans.
But, I mean, I brought him home.
Because he'll be like, oh, look, that's Sora. This is a very...
Luckily, you know, we talk about how, you know, that figure's fragile because he's gold. Something in the plastic.
They put some kind of metal in the plastic.
Which...
To give it that color, which is oxidized. So it shatters, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's the same problem with Serpentor and with Transmetal 1 Megatron,
right.
From Beast Wars.
Luckily, though, when he hit, he broke cleanly. Like, there was no shards. Yeah. There was no really bad shards. He was clean enough to where I was able to bring him home and actually super glue him together to where he's still, you know, still one piece. But as I put him back together and was almost done, I noticed that there was a part of his front right hip that was missing. And I was like, where's that part? So I get back on the computer... And I am Robert, and I'm like, hey, you still in the store? And he's like, yeah, of course. And I'm like, hey, can you, if you can kind of get down on your hands and knees down there and poke around where I dropped that figure and see if you can find an extra piece of kibble for him because I'm missing a piece. And he looks, and he's like, I found it. He's like, looks like a horn. I'm like, can you send me a picture? I don't know for sure. So he sends me a picture, and I'm like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, can you put that somewhere where you remember where you put it? And I'll grab it from you next time. And what happens is there's a post on the fan group that basically says he knows how badly I need it, and he feels that I should auction it off. Like, he should auction it off. And, somebody should have to pay for it. So I did, though. I was devastated. Like, I've only been that devastated once before, and it was last month. So I've never been that. Like, I break my stuff all the time, but it's my stuff.
Yeah.
But when I break somebody else's stuff, I feel really bad about it. Like, I'm not just like, oh, whatever. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not a heartless prick. Me. I mean, I'm a lovable guy. I feel really bad. Like, if I break my stuff, I'm just like, it's mine, whatever. You know, I'm angry at myself. I break somebody else's stuff, I feel bad for, you know, I feel bad. Like, I feel very sad and guilty, and I'm really sorry.
That's an expensive figure.
Well, yeah.
It's like a $50 figure.
Yeah. It'd be more if he had his gun.
Well, yeah.
But lucky he still works. I mean,
Does he still actually work?
Yeah, he still works. Oh, wow. I mean, he's glued, and he'll probably never leave my collection. I mean, if you can't tell from far away, but if you hold him in your hand and look, you can see, you know, you can see the line.
Yeah.
Like, I was very careful on how I glued him. Of course, working on models all these years, I'm pretty good at gluing stuff together and not ruining articulation.
I will say you are good
stuff.
At that. Yeah. Which is weird. It's weird that you're actually good at that, but then, like, I mean, at dinner tonight, you dropped things, like, two or three times.
Yeah, I did. I did. And earlier today, when I was eating lunch, I dropped lasagna on my
crotch. That's just being sloppy. But, like, you literally, you reached into the fridge to get something for Carrie, and you dropped them on the floor.
Yeah, I did. Anyway, so... But I did, man. I was really, really distraught.
You should be.
And of course, again, Steve. Well, of course, they're all laughing hysterically.
Yeah, the best part is because you are mouthing off about, you have to be really careful with this. I'm the Tory expert. I'm Jason Duvall. I know what I'm talking about. This is a very delicate.
Yeah.
That's why they were laughing.
I know. It was pretty funny.
Yes, it was.
I mean, as soon as I dropped it, I just stared down at it. And of course, the laughter just starts filling.
No, of course.
Filling the front counter, and it's just like, oh, man. And I love all those guys. I mean, we haven't known each other very long, but I love them to death. I love going out there. Robert and I talk all the time on IM. I love that store, you know, because there is some really cool stuff in that store.
Yeah.
It's just some really great stuff. So I love going out there and seeing what's new all the time and hanging out and doing that kind of work for them. Because to me, it's fun. It's not work. I enjoy digging through toys and trying to figure out, you know, what is this? You know, and I think you and I asked each other many times, like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And we would both go, one of us would look at it and go, oh, that's this and this. And then you're like, oh, yeah, it sure is. So, Transformer guns and all kinds of crazy stuff we were finding. We were like, oh, my God, this is that, you know. I found you a complete Visionaries
Cryotech,
which you were like, I really want Cryotech.
I kind of want Cryotech because there's a Transformer named Cryotech. It's one of my favorites. So yeah. I kind of wanted the Visionary guy to go with it.
And by complete, I mean he was the only thing that was I thought was missing was the hologram. And then I was looking closer in the back. I'm like, oh, well, his hologram's there. So I just went out and got a glue stick and basically put glue on the back and shoved it back on his chest. And it, as far as I know, did you take him out of the bag? It stayed.
Yeah.
I mean, he was complete. Had his weapon, his helmet, his staff. That figure literally felt like somebody had just taken it out of a package. Like a package had gotten ruined and they just opened it to put it on a shelf and then never touched it again. Because I've never held a Visionary in my hand that has been that stiff. Like that, the joints are brand new on that figure. And I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty spectacular. And had Dave not have wanted it, I probably would have taken it to replace my crappy Cryotech that I have that's kind of like...
Yeah, well.
So, it's very cool, though.
Well, I will say the one... To me, this is the one... And ironic, of course, it happened right before everything came up for sale this week. But we found this one figure, this weird little figure.
And
I kind of immediately fell in love with it. This weird little figure that we kind of, for some reason, we automatically assumed was biblical. It was this weird little dude, and he looked like an Indiana Jones figure, like a vintage Indiana Jones figure.
Yeah.
And he had the articulation like one, too.
And he had the felt.
He had a little cloth sort of outfit that was kind of dirty. He had a weird little hat. I mean, he looked Middle Eastern kind
of. Yeah.
But he had articulated knees. He had sandals. I mean,
he looked like he hung out with Jesus.
Yeah. Well, he looked biblical. And I thought it was really weird and neat, and I was interested, because I'm always interested in 3¾-inch figures.
Yeah, especially weird stuff, 3¾-inch.
Weird stuff, like that. So I went home, and they actually knew who it was, but they didn't mention it. I didn't hear them say what the name of the thing was, so I had to go home, and I spent a big chunk of Sunday night, like, looking.
Yeah.
And I finally found out what it was. It's called Biblical Greats,
Bible Greats.
And it's a whole line of, it's a really weird line of 3¾-inch. Some of them are articulated, and some of them are solid PVC. Yeah. And they had, like, a whole line. There's, like, a whole bunch of play sets.
Yeah.
The Nativity you expect. It's like the Crash. But there's a Jonah set, or the Whale, that you can... You can't put him in the mouth, but he's got, like, a little hole in some. But there's just, like, a... It's just called the House.
Yeah.
It's just, like, this weird... It's a little house.
Really,
with a little table.
Yeah, it's really kooky.
What was the other one? Because there were five of them. Because the one that really got me was there's the Calvary Mount, which is basically like the cave where they bury Jesus.
Yeah.
And he shows up again alive, and it's got crucifixes on it. I'm like, oh my god, this is crazy. So
yeah, it's like the Nativity set was just like a bunch of unarticulated figures.
Yeah, it was a weird mix of the
King's Temple.
The King's Temple is just basically like a little square with a throne in it.
Yeah, the Bible Village House.
Bible Village House,
which was pretty darn neat.
It was just like a little shoebox with a, and then Calvary Mount.
Yeah, Calvary Mount. Which
and I looked, and on eBay there was one listing, and it had four of the playsets, and it had three of the articulated figures.
And that Jesus is articulated.
Jesus is articulated.
Yes, he is.
Jesus is articulated. Yeah, they had three figures. Jesus, Samson, and then the little dude that I got. I actually bought that.
Oh, did you?
I'm the guy who bought that listing.
Did you buy that listing?
Yeah, I sent you a copy of the listing.
Yes.
But the other thing is when I searched for these guys, because I was like searching on Google for like biblical action figure, I did not realize that you need a safe search filter.
Yes.
Because I was, like, popping up, like adult-oriented Japanese statues.
Yeah, very weird
stuff.
And
I'm like, I don't understand how this fell...
So, I gotta ask, though,
into the category of biblical.
You and I are not... Okay, we have beliefs. We're not completely religious men at all.
Oh, I think that's a very fair statement for me.
Yeah, I mean, I have been to church.
I've been into a church and did not burst into flames.
I've never gone to church in my adult life, if it hasn't, unless for a wedding.
I think the last time I was in an actual church is when I was touring Europe, and they would take you to every cathedral.
Yeah, and that's nothing against anyone who has beliefs in higher power and higher spirit.
Yeah, I mean...
David and I are just not uber-religious people, so this is not something that we would even be drawn to. So my question is to you...
Oh, it's absolutely something I would be drawn to.
My question is to you, is where does all the Jesus stuff go in the
basement? Honestly, you, yes. you I thought you would be the first one to go, Is Jesus going to be standing? Is there going to be a TARDIS right there, and then Jesus? Jesus the goes right next the to the TARDIS. Either that or the DeLorean.
You want to see? You want to see when Jesus was born?
Hey, Marty!
Marty! It's Jesus!
It's Jesus!
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that was just too cool though, because we both were like. We're like, well, that's biblical. So
well, because it is really like an Indiana Jones figure.
Yeah.
You know, because I have all the vintage Indiana Jones figures.
What I really want to know is, what all else did they make? How many more articulated figures are in that set? That's not what I want to know, because it like, seems like that was the only thing you found in all of the internet.
Yeah, I found that was the eBay listing that I showed you. I mean, I found a page on it. There's like maybe five or six articulated figures.
And the rest of them are all static PVC. The rest of them are all
like, yeah, static PVC guys.
I got you. And it looks like they were used more for learning purposes, because a lot of them come with like a parent's guide.
That I don't know.
The listing for your temple playset or whatever had like parent's guide.
Yeah.
It's like, uh-oh.
Well, yeah, I mean, these things are sold at like Christmas.
All I hear is in the back of my head Puppet Duvall saying, educational. No. Oh, educational stuff's fun, Puppet Duvall. No, it's wonderful. No. You learn things like Jesus.
I know.
All right, Puppet Duvall, you can leave now.
I want to get stupider, not smarter.
Good. Well, we know where that's going.
That and the other thing, the other thing it reminded me of were the Dragon Riders of the Styx toys.
Yes.
So now that's one of the reasons I bought that, because it had the Jesus. Like just the Jesus and the little devil figure.
Oh,
just
like, yes. Oh my god, it's so cheesy. That's so awesome.
I'm going to hell.
That's all right. You won't be alone.
But I was like, they have playsets. Oh my god, this is amazing.
It's pretty spectacular.
I'm just heartbroken they didn't have the Jonah playset.
Oh, I know.
It was like a boat and a cheap whale.
But you know what? This is a special kind of advertisement for everyone out there. If you were in the Illinois area and you happen to go to Pekin, Illinois, or you listen to the show and you're around this area and you frequent Pekin and you've been to JR's Mini Mall.
As people will.
You know, and if you've been to JR's Mini Mall. If anyone goes into JR's Mini Mall, and we'll mention this on numerous shows, but this isn't just a temporary thing. I'm guessing as long as Dave and I are doing stuff for JR's Mini Mall, which probably will be for some time to come.
Based on the condition of that stuff, yeah.
If you go into JR's Mini Mall in Pekin, Illinois, and you mention to them that you heard the store mentioned on the show, they will give you 15% off a 15% off discount off your purchase.
Oh wow!
Neat. Yes, so you will get 15%
off. That count for us too?
If we buy something, yeah.
Okay, cool.
But you'll get 15% off.
No, I heard about this on my show.
Yeah, I heard about this on my show. I get a discount, right?
Yeah. Do I? Well, technically, I did since I first heard about it when you were talking about it on the show.
Well, so. So, if you go to Pekin, Illinois, you go to JR's Mini Mall, and you go in and you mention that you heard them mentioned on our show.
Yeah,
you will get 15% off your purchase.
Sweet,
which is pretty cool. 50% discount, so it's pretty neat. It's a good little deal. So I mean. Anyone that makes a trip here to kind of visit and shop, then...
And can I, if you haven't picked up from what we were talking about earlier, the prices are already really good, so...
Yeah, no, they're really, really great. I mean, just spectacular. There's just a lot of good stuff in there, and there's a lot of great... I mean, there's a lot of great lunch boxes, and there's some great toys to dig through, comics, lots of great antiques, collector glasses, boxed Atari games.
Yeah.
There was a whole thing of boxed Atari games.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, the whole set they wanted like, I think they wanted $195 for like all 12 games or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And they were really nice. They were in really nice shape. The boxes, the inserts, everything are beautiful. So, lots of great stuff. If you're in the area, I suggest you go. Check it out. Dave and I recommend them greatly.
Yeah.
With that in mind, and with the story of me breaking things, what do you say we answer some? Yeah. What do you say we answer some fan questions?
All right.
Fan questions, Dave. Dun 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
All right. Fan questions. Fan questions. All right. So the first one comes from our buddy David Williams. And David says, if every toy you had came to life with all of its powers and abilities, who would win in the greatest conflict in history? And to make it fair, you cannot use Superman or Chuck Norris toys in any of this.
Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris toys in any of this.
I mean, it would be... I thought about this, actually. Like, I know what it's supposed to be is just basically like a battle royale where you don't have any context.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, Superman's not going to... Or not Superman, but, like, Optimus Prime and He-Man aren't going to fight. They're going to team up.
Correct.
But I boiled it down to four contenders.
Okay.
I'll leave it to the audience. Galactus, Unicron, Voldemort, and Emperor Palpatine.
Oh.
And I kind of... I mean, it just depends. Like, I don't exactly know what the extent of Voldemort's magic could do.
Right.
But, I mean, it could do anything. I mean, right. it could turn Unicron into a rabbit.
That's...
It could! You yeah. don't know. You That's don't true. Know. So, I mean, like, I think Voldemort and Palpatine are the two wild cards.
Two wild cards. Mine would be Ariel.
What?
Strawberry Shortcake. Twilight Sparkle and Miss Piggy.
And these are going to win.
Dude, you put Miss Piggy in a fight, she's probably going to kill everyone.
Piggy would make it to a later round. I'll give her that.
It's Piggy. Yeah. Twilight Sparkle's a wild card.
Twilight Sparkle would die instantly.
No, she wouldn't.
She'd be Galactus poo.
Well, and if Ariel has Triton staff, then she's the one to bet on. Oh man, I know. Benton Holt says, "Let's just pretend for a moment that the likeness of famous people wasn't a licensing issue.
No.
What real life people, living or dead, including artists, actors, musicians, presidents, or any sort of historical individual, would you want to see as a figure? I'm thinking of this fantasy toy line in like either a Marvel Legends or G.I. Joe style, but I'll leave it up to you guys.
Like, okay." Is it just real life people, or can we do like a character that they played? Because that's kind of how
probably a character that they played.
Because I'll tell you, the one thing that I would drop the money, I would drop $300, which is more than it would probably be, but I would drop $300 right now for a Hot Toys Columbo.
Oh yeah,
right now. I love that series. I love that character.
What about Hot Toys Kojak? That'd be kind of cool.
I'm not that attached to Kojak. Well, they already have like a Mego-esque Kojak from
the 70s. That's true.
He's even got his own little
What about a Hot Toys Jessica Fletcher?
Maybe. No, I wouldn't. But you...
Come on now.
Columbo, man. I would buy Columbo in a minute. He'd have to have the cigar, his notepad, and his shoes. And then the special add-on thing would be dog.
I would want a Hot Toys Freddie Mercury.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I would want actually the entire Queen band with their instruments. That's what I would want Hot Toys style. I think that'd be really cool. But that's just because I'm a big Queen fan. I think that'd be awesome. Or Huey Lewis.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's like harder rock and roll Huey Lewis. I'd kill for that.
You know, we talk about the Funko stuff. I mean, my thing is I would rather have, like we were talking about with Boss Fight, I would rather have the more modern era.
Yes.
But I would kill for like a Decker Blade Runner. Some of the stuff that Funko's doing, I would love to have in a modern era style. You know, my dreamline, when we were at dinner, I saw that there was like a prop replica of the Aliens APC.
Right.
That, you know, you give me a 4-inch G.I. Joe style, the Sulaco crew, I would be the happiest little boy. Give me a jump ship for like $300, I'd buy it.
Right.
You know, drop ship. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
Dropship, APC.
Yeah.
I'd buy all... I would break myself on that line. I really would.
Yeah,
because that's one of those dream things.
Yeah. David Monientis Gill says, this time next year, I suspect we'll be seeing our first Star Wars Episode 7 toys. Probably the prototypes as the real things won't be out till the autumn. Once these are in stores, do you guys think there will be a whole new generation of kids who might get on board with collecting toys as a result? Will old adult collectors who've lost interest make a comeback? Will this have a knock-on effect, meaning more space given back to all action figures in stores? Or were all the retails so badly bitten by unsold prequel merchandise between 99 and 05 that they'll order cautiously, leading to a less product and thus less interest from the casual consumer? As he's the Star Wars collector, I guess this is more of a question for Dave, but as I think all this might have a knock-on effect on the overall action figure market, I'm sure that Duvall will have some thoughts too.
I think Clone Wars, from what I understand, was pretty big for a while and pretty successful.
Yeah.
They're going into Rebels. I think it will bring some more kids into it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll bring some collectors back, especially if it's good.
Yeah.
If Episode 7's good, it'll bring people back.
And I think it'll bring the retail space back for a Star Wars movie.
I don't. I think it'll
You think retailers have got burned with all the superhero stuff?
I think retailers have got burned on toys, on action figures. I think it'll have some space, but it...
You know Toys R Us will have some space.
Toys R Us will have some space.
Big feature shop. And
Walmart will have, like, a couple of pegs. I mean, Walmart and Target will have pegs for it.
Right.
But it's not going to, like, magically reset things to, like, 5 years ago.
No, not at all.
Those days are gone. It'll be like any other, you know, Man of Steel toys or whatever came out this year toys.
Right.
I agree. I don't even know what we have this year anymore. Yeah, it'll be bigger footprint than Cap. It'll be a smaller footprint than Transformers.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I do think it'll bring... Well, Transformers is... You know the industry's bad because Transformers is starting to suffer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you know that the thing's really, really super sick.
Yeah. So.
Rich
Bernier says, for my 40th birthday, my family is getting me two Hot Toys, the Reeves Superman and the Adam West Batman.
Choice.
These will be my first Hot Toys, and I'm a little worried about displaying them. Do you guys have any tips on dusting a Hot Toys figure? I'm mainly worried about these soft goods. I'd like to get a display case, but until then, how can I keep them clean?
Get a smaller case for them.
I mean, or get an air duster.
Yeah, I mean, the cloth is fairly... I mean, dude, the first couple of years, you're fine with just like a little Swiffer or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, it's you know, it's going to be a few years before the cloth gets ratty and bad. I mean, by that time, if you don't have a case, then...
Yeah,
you kind of.
I think it'll be all right if you like every couple of months. If you just
take
go
yours
through
up on the
it.
Shelf and they're yeah. fine. I mean, they yeah. were fine.
Yeah, I sold you mine, and I yeah. they had been put on three shelves in two different households, and were never, you know, other than the bases getting dusty, they weren't bad at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, cloth is going to hold up for a little while. Yeah, your bigger concern is more stains.
Yeah,
or moths. So you want to keep them away from stuff that can damage it.
Yeah.
So I mean, you might want to get a case when you can.
Yeah. If you got a IKEA, go get a Detolf.
Got a Detolf. That's what I designated mine for the minute I got it.
Yep. Christopher Haywood says, I've heard you guys say before that you will sometimes let a vendor know that they have a price that's way too low marked on an item, which
what?
We talked
Lies.
About today with Steve. Which we talked about, you know, telling Steve. And you will sometimes just buy them, buy that item at that price. What factors lead you to deciding which vendor to give advice to and which to just buy from?
Whether I like them or not?
Well, yeah, I think that's part of it. I think part of it is... when we go to toy shows now, there are certain dealers that cut us deals, that know us, that know us by sight, that may not know us by name, but know us by sight and know us well enough that they will cut us deals on stuff that we buy just because they like us.
Well, and also they know that we come back, so.
Yeah. There are dealers who Dave and I, there have been times before where, if something's too expensive and Dave and I have looked at it, and, you know, Dave's more me than Dave, of course, because, you know, Dave isn't exactly the social butterfly. But I'll actually start the confrontation and say, this is way too much for what it is, man. I'm like, there's no way.
I try that. Then I get a sob story about how his mother's in the hospital and his daughter, blah, blah. And it's even less than what he paid for back in the old country. And then the violins come out.
It's like,
really, dude? Just knock $5 off.
Really, I do think it comes down to if the dealer... I hate to say it's nice enough because everyone we've dealt with at Toy Man is pretty. I mean, they're pretty decent people. They're nice, but we've seen a couple dealers that are kind of jerks. That if I had the opportunity,
some guys
I
that
would
are kind of.
I won't say jerks. I take advantage of their pricing, but I'd go. I'm not going to say anything.
See, the problem is they're the guys that are. That's part of the thing is the guys that are jerks are almost never the ones that have their things priced wrong.
And when it comes to like good prices at Kane County, those people know what they have. It's just Kane County seems to be a, you know, especially the first couple buildings you go into that aren't the main building. Kane County almost is like the discount shopper arena for vintage toys. I mean, you go there knowing you're going to find deals and you're going to get the stuff for good prices. So you don't really have to tell dealers that, hey, you know, this is worth more because those dealers would go, I know it's worth more, but I just a bunch of extra abundance. I'm trying to make money.
Yeah. And to be perfectly honest, if you're setting up at a toy show, they know what they're getting into. They know what they're asking for.
Yeah.
And usually by the time we slip in early, but by the time that we get there, any of the real steals are gone.
Oh yeah,
the super steals.
Absolutely, they're
because the other
dealers
have swiped them up.
Yeah, exactly. They're long gone.
So,
Alex Pasquale says, do you know or notice if one's area is a factor in having great luck or not so much luck finding toys at retail?
Yep.
I've heard some folks having trouble finding current Transformers, where I see no end in sight wherever I go. As for things Marvel, I've given up and go straight to pre-order, not just from varying localities, but there seems to be discrepancy from store to store as well, i.e. the Simpsons Lego figures sold out immediately in my Targets, but at Fred Meyer's, you can literally find them by the box load.
Yeah, I mean, that's the old bugaboo of distribution.
Yes.
And, you know, people always want to blame the actual, production companies, but the toy companies themselves, when it's really the stores. You know, I mean, stuff comes from China, it goes to some warehouse, you know, Walmart warehouse, a Toys R Us warehouse, and then it gets split up based on whatever system they have, and those boxes get dumped on a truck, and store A might get this, and store B might, you know. The G.I. Joes, there's been a big thing the last month or so that Five Belows and a couple other places have gotten in some of these late late issue retaliation figures
that you could really only find from like Big Bad Toy Store and stuff
for a while. Yeah. But the thing is, like, we've gotten one box, you know, like our Five Below has gotten wave after wave after wave, or not wave, but case after case after case,
right,
of this one wave, and Toys R Us has gotten in case after case of that same wave, whereas other people have gotten the other wave, which is known as the Ultimate Wave.
Yeah,
and so, you know, for like the first 2 weeks, it was cool to be the Night Viper Kingpin.
Yeah,
which I kind of was. But now I'm like, I kind of like to get that Flint because he's a good base body for G.I. Joe troopers.
Right.
But we don't get that case. We get this case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's, it's, dude, it has been that way. It will be that way. I mean, as long as I've been collecting, you know, you just anecdotally know that one place will get one thing and another place won't get anything.
Right.
It's and- just, it's so random.
And, like, you know, with, the, like, the Transformers stuff, like, I'd been looking for Rhinox for a while, and it just seemed like... You saw Rhinox once, I think.
I don't know if I saw Rhinox ever.
You saw
I might have. I saw Whirl once.
And I found a Whirl, but out of that same assortment, I was looking for Rhinox, because I really wanted that Rhinox. Couldn't find it. Of course, we talked about it on here, and Joshua Flood actually was like, hey, there's, like, three Rhinoxes at my local store. If you want me to pick you up one? And I'm like, yes, please, do, because I cannot find him here. And then, of course, you know, he sends it along a couple extras. He's like, I threw in some extra stuff from flea markets.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And, of course, it gets here yesterday. And then Carrie and I go to the store. And as we're walking through Walmart, past the toy aisles, because I don't always get to look down the toy aisles, and she wasn't feeling good, so I wasn't going to, like, venture over there. But we're walking past, and I happen to look down at the clearance aisle. Like, there's a in the middle of the aisle, there's a bunch of, like, little islands with clearance stuff on it. And there, sitting on the corner, is a Rhinox. And I'm like... Well, that's just my luck. That figures. That's typical. But yeah, it does come down to just distribution. I can tell you from just from experience with Toys R Us that it was so random sometimes what we would and would not get in, even though the warehouse said it was there and we were allocated to get the stuff, and it just would never show up.
Yeah.
And then you have the problem nowadays where guys at Target and Walmart, and especially Toys R Us, now that I'm not there, especially Toys R Us, you've got guys hiding, again, going back to hiding whole cases, so the system never knows that stuff's out, so it never reorders anything from the warehouse, which means you just get stuck seeing the same stuff over and over and over again, because nothing new's coming in, because nothing actually is selling that would sell in order for it to bring in new product.
Well, and yeah, and then there's a whole, I mean, the whole automated system adds a layer of complication.
Yeah.
I know. For a while there, like a couple of years back, Walmart was just phasing out being able to order it yourself. Because I know that when DC Universe Classics, the second Walmart wave,
yeah,
came out, we did not get the first Walmart wave. Our Walmart, no Walmart in Springfield got wave 5.
Right.
And I actually went to Decatur to get a Riddler. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and so when wave 10 came out and it had the Joker... I had a friend who worked at the toy department at one of the Walmarts, and I said, look, I hear this is coming out. Can you order this?
Right.
So he put in an order, because that was just at the tail end of them being able to do that. So we got in like a case or two, and of course I bought it, someone else bought it, and all of a sudden like the system went, hey, people in Springfield really like these. So we were like we had like end caps full
of that wave.
Wave 10, and like other people never saw it.
Yeah.
So I take responsibility for screwing that one up.
Way to go, Dave.
Well, you know what? Payback for 5.
That's yeah, exactly. Robert Hardefill says, I'm guessing this is a question for me, but do you collect new or old Disney stuff?
No.
Dave doesn't at all. Carrie and I, on the other hand, actually collect mostly older stuff. I don't think there's a whole lot of... I think really the only new Disney stuff we bought was I bought her a couple of new Goofy items for Christmas. And then I bought a couple of Wreck-It Ralph figures when they were out. Like, I bought a Vanellope,
yeah.
And I bought a large Vanellope, and a certain other, you know, a couple other things. But mostly it's old stuff. Mostly it's stuff from the theme parks, from around the time of the, you know, the 70s, 80s. I've got a lot of guides, a lot of pictorial guides from Disneyland, starting from the parks opening to current day, as well as Disney World. A lot of stuff in that kind of age. So it's Carrie collects a lot of... older figurines and Knickerbocker Mickey and gang stuff that, you know, was prevalent in the 60s and 70s. And
prevalent?
Prevalent. Sorry. Again, mispronounced words. You should know that by now. You just correct me and then move on.
I just did.
I know.
You're the one that's...
Shut up, Dave. So, mostly old stuff. And then Camus Clark says, if you had the room, which toy line in your collection would you build an entire environment to display it in?
I think you could argue that I already did that with the Flag.
Yeah, Dave already did that.
But I mean, it would be, you know, one of the things I always loved about Comic-Con, I don't even know if they still bother doing it, was
the big dioramas.
Was the big dioramas that Hasbro did. And I would love that.
And even Mattel, to a degree. They did some for Masters.
Mattel always ticked me off, because they had these big displays that were, like, filled with, like, the whole run of the toys. You're like, oh, they're putting that figure back out? No, that's just for our display.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well.
Really? Why are you showing me things I can't buy?
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love, I mean, if I had the money, I would do Star Wars and G.I. Joe, and I would have just big, gorgeous, dioramas of Hoth and Battle of Cobra Island and just, you know, the Pit and Endor. Tatooine. I would love to do that. I sort of try to do that in my own way, but it's you know,
I'd love to build a little fort, like a little kind of like rainforest diorama for the Rambo base. I think that'd be neat.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
The big like the big palm trees.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Or like a little New York street section with the firehouse in the middle of it.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. So yeah, there's a couple things, but nothing. The one thing that I wish I had room for was the Sears Disney Magic playset from the 80s that is literally Town Square from Disneyland. It is literally Town Square. And I have two of them, and one of them I have mint in box. And it's always been my dream to get just a big piece, you know, a big hunk of wood.
Plywood, yeah.
And glue one of those mats down and drill the holes for all the lights and everything and build this diorama to display it and just, you know, put a big plexiglass case over it and have this nice, really cool Main Street USA display that lights up and everything. But I don't have the room for it anymore. I didn't have the room for it to begin with, and I definitely don't have the room for it now. So, well, there you go, guys. That's gonna wrap up fan questions and bring us to the end of this week's show here on ToyWorldOrder.com.
What happened to the DOS?
I know. There's no DOS. DOS was DOS. Last week.
Was he?
Yeah, I had to cut it in because we didn't record it.
Yeah, we were scrambling.
I actually just kind of had to cut him in with a section from the previous DOS episode where I introduced him. So a little editing magic there. No DOS this week. DOS will be back next week. But of course, you can check us out. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on iTunes as well as ToyWorldOrder.com. And then you can find us on our YouTube pages, YouTube.com/ToyWorldOrder, as well as YouTube.com/BoardTheShow with our good little buddy Puppet Duvall. So make sure you subscribe to those if you haven't already. Make sure you go to Facebook.com and look up Toy World Order Fans. If you haven't joined the fan group, we are over 400 members. It is a really awesome time. There's lots of people joining every day. There's lots of great conversations going on. There's lots of great stuff. So please join if you love toys. Toy World Order is becoming the destination for people who just simply love toys. We've kind of moved away from, like, we used to say, we're your number one destination for toy reviews. Well, not really. We're more your number one destination for toy entertainment, because we present a lot more entertainment for toys, and our reviews have become more entertaining with Puppet Duvall, and almost like little mini episodes of a show.
Yeah.
Basically, which is how I would rather present the product anyway, so it's more fun that way to me.
Yeah.
And to you, and to everyone else, I think, that watches and enjoys it, so. Make sure you subscribe to those. Make sure you check us out. And gang, we will be back here next week with an all-new show right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. And David?
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The toy bar's closed, peeps. Peace out.